Next up, Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat is hosted by Sally Mock and features Lee Newspaper State News Bureau Chief Holly Michaels and Rob Saldine of the University of Montana's Mansfield Center and Political Science Department. Here's Sally.
Holly, a state commission this week recommended that Attorney General Austin Knutson be suspended from practicing law for 3 months for ethics violations during a dispute with the state Supreme Court. And this is an unprecedented action against a sitting attorney general.
Yeah, Sally, this is the only time that anyone I've talked to can ever remember anything like this happening. And of course, this is also happening just a couple weeks away from Election Day, which only adds to the unprecedentedness of this scenario. So what we have is the Commission on Practice. They're tasked with overseeing the conduct of lawyers in Montana. They recommended that Knutson be suspended for 90 days, like you said. That is short of the farthest the panel could have gone, which would have been disbarment, but still is a pretty serious step to take. To recap really quickly how we got here, this comes from a dispute between the legislature and the judiciary back in 2021. Knutson, in his role as attorney general, was the legislature's lawyer there, and in that role, he made some fairly harsh statements toward the state Supreme Court. He questioned their impartiality, claimed they bailed themselves out. At one point, through a letter issued by his lieutenant, they said that Republican lawmakers would not comply with a court order. So all pretty major steps that this commission objected to. At his trial, Knutson said he did wish cooler heads would have prevailed in this dispute. In his defense, he said he was acting aggressively at the behest of his clients, the legislature. But this Commission on Practice panel determined that Knutson's actions in this were disingenuous in the extreme. The panel chair also wrote that Knutson acted with total disregard for the rule of law. They said, he very much could have still aggressively defended his clients, but done so in a more professional manner. So this recommendation now goes before the state Supreme Court, which can either uphold this decision, change it, or reject it. We've already seen some justices recuse themselves from this process. Knutson also has 30 days to lodge an appeal, which he said he'll do. So at this point, it's kind of unclear what all this will mean going forward. With him being suspended from practicing law, as attorney general, he's not in court all day or anything like that, but the state constitution does require the attorney general to be admitted to the practice of law. So while we have this outcome, at least, of the panel here, this is not the end of the road for this whole ordeal, and we'll be waiting to see what the Supreme Court does and where Knutson's appeal goes.
Well, Rob, the public shame of potentially having his law license suspended is not, however, expected to keep Knutson from being reelected.
Yeah, Sally, I don't think it will. This is the kind of professional humiliation that certainly would have carried a big impact, say, 10 years ago. It absolutely could have tanked a political campaign back then, and especially when the conduct in question is so central to the office that the candidate is seeking, as is obviously the case here. But in this era of Montana and U.S. politics, Sally, I just doubt that it will harm Knutson all that much, at least in terms of the election. It might even help with some voters because it's more evidence that he's a fighter against all the bad people.
Holly, in the Senate race, the source of the bullet in Republican Tim Sheehy's arm continues to be questioned, most notably by former Glacier Park Ranger Kim Peach, who Sheehy told he had accidentally shot himself in the park. And that's a story Sheehy now says was a lie to protect his fellow soldiers in Afghanistan when he was wounded there. Now Peach is featured in this new TV ad.
A gunshot is reported at Glacier Park. The suspect, Tim Sheehy, admits to Ranger Kim Peach that his Colt 45 fell and shot his right forearm.
I met Tim Sheehy at the hospital. He was bandaged and told me his gun had fallen and shot his arm.
But now Sheehy changed his story, saying he lied to law enforcement, claiming the bullet was a war wound from Afghanistan, not Glacier.
But I know two things. Sheehy is a liar, and that bullet was from Glacier.
Last Best Place Pack is responsible for the content of this ad.
And Peach Holly is adamant in this ad that Sheehy's wound was self-inflicted.
He is, Sally. And of course, Sheehy is on the opposite of that side. Like you said, equally adamant that this was a gunshot wound actually sustained in combat. But he's not released medical records that would definitively show that. So this is why this issue is again back up in the forefront. You know, this to me kind of falls into this October surprise category of news we're seeing a lot right now, where this gunshot story initially broke way back in the spring, but now that ballots are out, we have Peach again in the news, bringing this back to the forefront for voters. And we saw stories published recently in the Washington Post and New York Times that both featured interviews with Peach. He did speak to national news outlets back in the spring, but that was anonymously. He also didn't at that time respond to requests from our reporter, Victoria Evis, for an interview. But now he is telling his story. And he did tell our reporter, Victoria, that the timing of this has nothing to do with the election being right around the corner, that it was just that he was finally ready to come forward now. He also said that he is a Democrat, but that he'd hope he would be doing the same thing if the party alignment were switched here. And of course, like we just heard, he did cut an ad for a PAC that supports Tester. And that ad's just furthering this messaging we've heard from Democrats through this whole election, that Sheehy's a liar, he can't be trusted. And now we're hearing it from someone specifically involved in this gunshot incident that I think early reporting just left a lot of questions. So I think having a face to this is something Democrats are really hoping will hit home with voters, as they've either got ballots in their hands right now or are gearing up for Election Day soon.
Well, Sheehy's business dealings, Holly, are also back in the news, specifically $160 million worth of bonds Gallatin County signed off on for Sheehy's aerial firefighting company. But this was money that was supposed to go into expanding the company, most of which, however, went instead to paying off investors.
Back in 2020, Bridger executives asked Gallatin County if it could use its good credit rating to raise that $160 million through municipal bond offering. What Bridger said at the time is that would benefit the county because Bridger would hire more employees, they would build two hangars at the Belgrade Airport, and also be able to boost their firefighting efforts in Montana. But NBC News reported that after Bridger issued these bonds, about $134 million actually just went to the Blackstone Group, one of Bridger's investors. That reporting also found that only one of the hangars was ever actually built, and the number of Bridger employees actually has dropped over time, not increased. Bridger's finances are something that's kind of been in question this whole election cycle. Previous reportings found that it was actually struggling financially. Important to note here, Gallatin County wouldn't be on the hook if Bridger were to default, though this could hurt their credit ratings if they weren't able to make those bond payments. But what she has really done is made Bridger central to his campaign messaging, saying, look, I founded this business, it's very successful here. So that's why we're hearing so many ads from Democratic groups on the other sides raising flags about how successful Bridger actually is.
Well, Rob, as in the Knutson case, it's not clear whether any of this bad press is going to hurt Sheehy's election chances.
Yeah, exactly, Sally. I mean, you'd think on some level this stuff would resonate. There's just been so much of it and so much that doesn't add up. It's actually kind of hard to keep track of everything that's out there on Sheehy. And Sheehy has done so little to respond effectively to it, which makes you wonder if there just might not be any very compelling responses he can make. To the extent that he has responded, it's often been of the nothing to see here variety, or everyone is being mean to Sheehy, or anyone who offers criticism of Sheehy is actually attacking all veterans. So unless you're pretty deep into the MAGA fever swamps, this stuff reflects poorly on Sheehy. I just don't see any way of getting around that. And again, you know, 10 years ago, you could probably take any of, say, a half dozen of these things, and they very well could have been the end of the road for Sheehy. But that's not the era we live in, and these things are coming late. I suspect the Tester campaign would have liked to have seen that Ranger come forward a little earlier.
Well, Holly, a PAC supporting Supreme Court candidate Dan Wilson has a new ad out attacking his opponent, Catherine Bidegary. And here's that ad.
Justice matters in the courtroom and on the playing field. Judge Dan Wilson will protect the integrity of girls' sports. But liberal activists like Kathy Bittigieri support a radical agenda that allows biological males in girls' sports, compromising both fairness and safety. Wilson will bring common sense conservative values to the Montana Supreme Court, defending fairness and protecting our daughters' right to compete. Vote Judge Dan Wilson for Supreme Court. Conservative balance, Montana values.
This ad is attacking Bittigieri for an issue that, as far as I know, she has not addressed at all.
Yeah, Sally, I've seen nothing reported through this election. Nothing's come up in any of the forums with these candidates, or even that this ad is claiming maybe something like a past ruling from Bittigieri that would reference what's going on here, the claims this ad's making. And of course, judge candidates are also barred from saying how they'd rule on certain things that would come before them. But this ad is not actually from Dan Wilson himself. It's from a group called Leadership in Action that's backing him. And it's also echoing mailers that are going out in this race from the Republican State Central Committee, hitting on this issue of trans athletes in sports. And Sally, this is hitting on this anti-trans message we've seen from Republican candidates up and down the ballot this cycle, from Tim Sheehy, Ryan Zinke, all the way down the ballot to state legislative candidates are sending mailers with similar messaging. And I think what this is in these nonpartisan judge races, you know, elections where voters are increasingly making choices based on party affiliation, this messaging indicates to voters where a judge candidate would maybe fall along those party lines if you were to put them in that bucket. And we've also seen bills to ban trans women from participating in sports come out of Montana legislature and end up in the court. So this is something that very much at some point could be before the state Supreme Court with either Bittigieri or Wilson on it.
Well, Rob, I know campaign operatives think the culture war stuff is a winning tactic or they wouldn't be doing it. But I do wonder if it's wearing thin with voters. What do you think?
I'm not sure it is, Sally. You know, we live in a political era where the cultural stuff resonates. It resonates a lot more than economics. And, you know, this particular attack, I think it really frustrates Democrats. They kind of make two points on this. First, they'll say, you know, kind of on the merits, you know, this is a hysterical thing that the Republicans are putting out. And, you know, they seize on some obscure, isolated incident and blow it way out of proportion. And then Democrats, I also see saying, you know, these kinds of ads are to some degree unfair because, you know, it's really the kind of activist class, not necessarily Democratic Party officials who are out there pushing some of these issues, and the Republicans just lump us all together. Well, the trouble, it seems to me, is that for people who have some skepticism about everything in the trans agenda, and just look at polling, there are a lot of people who have skepticism about elements of it, that these arguments that Democrats make on this front just aren't going to be very compelling. And to some degree, they might even come off as a bit of gaslighting. And that's because they can see that, in fact, you know, trans issues have recently become quite prominent in American life. In addition to that, you know, regardless of what Bittigieri or Trunell or Bussey or whoever it is might say, you know, these issues really are quite important to an element of the Democratic base, namely white college-educated progressives. And because that group is prominent, it kind of packs a bigger punch on the cultural level. So all of this is kind of part of why Republicans are so easily able to link this agenda with the Democratic Party, even when they, to some degree, try to keep it at arm's length. And I think it's pretty powerful. As you say, Sally, that is why they keep doing it.
Well, we will keep doing this show, and I'll talk to you both next week. Holly and Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat features Rob Saldine of the University of Montana's Mansfield Center and Political Science Department, Lee Newspaper State News Bureau Chief Holly Michaels, and hosted by Sally Mauck. Join us next week for more analysis of Montana politics.